Right. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Southern Emergency Access Route Community Update. This evening, we will have a 30 to 45 minute presentation followed by questions and answers. This evening's speakers, we have Diane Davies, who's currently on the Genesee Foundation Board of Directors, Will Quinby, Project Manager and Engineer, and Jason Puppett, the Fire Chief. My name is Dory Dalton. I'm the Wildland Specialist for the district, and I will moderate questions and answers at the end of the presentation. I would like to ask everyone to please hold their questions until the end of the presentation. You can enter them into the chat box as they come up, and they will be addressed at the end of the presentation. Remember that this meeting is being recorded and it will be posted on the Fire District website. And in order to respect everyone's time, we will have a hard stop at 8 o'clock. And again, at the end, if your question does not get answered, I will put in an email address that you can email your questions to so that they will be answered. Our first speaker this evening is Diane Davies, and I'm going to hand it over to Diane.
Thank you, Dory. Would you go to the next slide, please? Okay, so we're here today to talk about emergency access route, so also known as an EAR. And what is that? It's a tool for firefighting and for evacuation of residents of the Genesee Fire Protection District. The road that we're proposing is to be designed and constructed to be safely navigated by passenger vehicles, law enforcement vehicles, and fire apparatus during an emergency. It's not going to be used for public transport or other day-to-day use. It's intended to be used only for emergency ingress, egress, maintenance, mitigation, and training. Subject to approval of a financing resolution by fire district residents, the road will be built, operated, and owned by Genesee Fire Protection District. And I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about the history of the project and where we are today and how we got there. And then some other folks are going to talk about kind of what comes next. Next slide, please. Dory? Thank you. So the need for alternative access for the Genesee Fire Protection District was identified in the 2008 Community Wildfire Protection Plan. In 2021, the Fire Protection District obtained an update to the 2008 plan. The 2021 plan included suggestions for improving evacuation planning and capacity. Quoting from the CWPP, Genesee Fire Protection District has a high likelihood of substantial evacuation congestion and long evacuation times during a wildfire event. Several segments of road in the northern half of the fire district could experience substantial congestion during an evacuation due to funneling of traffic toward a limited number of egress routes to I-70. Further, if our current evacuation route is closed, we may have no other option than to shelter in place. And because we only have those two exits out at exit 254 and 256, that's what raises the concern. And so that applies, the evacuation concerns apply to everyone within the fire district, whether they live in Genesee Village, Chimney Creek, or different parts of Genesee or other parts of the fire protection district. And there's also the other benefits of this to bring emergency equipment from the south, from Highway 74, from other municipalities and fire districts to assist in fighting the fire. So it is a tool. It's not clear exactly how it will be used, but there's a lot of different opportunities to use it to protect people and their homes. Next slide, please. So the Genesee Fire Protection District completed a survey in 2021 regarding a variety of issues related to wildfire risk, which is what's on the screen right now. And they had a really good response to this survey, and a lot of people weighed in on it. And people from all of the Genesee Fire Protection District, including Genesee Village, Genesee Foundation, Genesee Estates, and Chimney Creek. And the survey directly addressed this option of construction of an emergency access road and received a favorable response from people throughout the district. 77% of the survey respondents supported a new emergency access route. Next slide, please. So various routes have been investigated by the fire district and by the Genesee Foundation, particularly the Foundation Fire Safety Committee, including routes over Shingle Creek and Grapevine Road, Pine Drop Lane, and King Ranch. A matrix was prepared by the Fire Safety Committee and reviewed by experts who you see on the slide to determine the preferred route. A southern emergency access route led in all categories related to emergency access, evacuation value, fire prevention value, and probability of success in actually being able to construct the road. This location allows a route on Genesee open space and requires less mitigation than routes traversing forested or narrow county or private drives, and can accommodate a two-lane road for both ingress of fire equipment and egress of Genesee Fire District residents, and can also serve as a fire break for certain fires. In addition, modeling that results presented in the CWPP suggest that a new southern egress route would improve evacuation scenarios throughout the fire protection district. Importantly, the route also provides an option for first responders to access property within the district from the south. Next slide, please. So we've had a number of teams, I would say, working on this project, and it got started with a conceptual feasibility study that was conducted in the first quarter of 2021 by Genesee Fire, with support from the Genesee Foundation. This study addressed a specific route that began at Bitterroot and came through Water and Sanitation District property across the dam and exited at Highway 74 on Water and Sanitation District property. This study was helpful in that it provided preliminary confirmation of the viability of a route to Highway 74. However, the specific routes used in that study raised some concerns about the potential effect on water district facilities, especially the dam at reservoir number 2, and also had some limitations on how wide the road could be and some other things. Subsequently, representatives from the Genesee Foundation Board, the Water District, and the Fire District formed what's called the Tri-Board Working Group. The Tri-Board Working Group's primary purpose was to create and employ a process for sharing information and identifying technical issues to support the potential development of a southern ear, including compiling a summary of key objectives and parameters. The Tri-Board Group met several times and identified an area for further study known as the Southern Corridor, which is described as the area between Bitterroot and Daisy Lane and Montaigne and Highway 74. After the Tri-Board Working Group made its conclusion, the Genesee Foundation, working with Chief Puffett, selected Baseline Engineering to conduct a study to identify one or more emergency access routes across within the Southern Corridor, and to provide a project timeline, cost estimates for each identified option. The Genesee Foundation paid the cost of this study, which was completed in early 2023. And you see that was about $40,000. The route recommended by Baseline Engineering crosses land owned by the Genesee Foundation and Genesee Water and Sanitation District. Because the road is going to be owned and operated by Genesee Fire Protection District, it was necessary to for Genesee Foundation and the Water and Sanitation District to grant easements to Genesee Fire across their properties for the construction and the operation of the road. This has been completed. The easements have been negotiated, signed, and are in place. And so the necessary easements have been granted, which leads us to where we are today. And I will hand it off to Will Quimby to talk about where we are and where we're going.
Very good. Good evening. My name is Will Quimby. I've been a resident of Genesee since 2001. I've been a licensed professional civil engineer since 1975, which I think is the year that Chief Puffett was born. And I'm a volunteer, like Diane and the rest of the members of all of the boards of Genesee. So we got the results of the feasibility study here. It was developed using fire marshal design criteria, and that gave maximum grades and minimum curve radii. We evaluated three routes. The blue route, the powder blue route over here, is on the east side of Daisy Lane. There's a green route that starts off basically at the tennis courts where the trail, the cross courts trail led out, and it goes down to 74. And then there's a similar path, a magenta route, a third route that follows a slightly different alignment than the green route. A geotechnical evaluation was performed by a certified geotechnical engineer using a surface inspection and a review of all the existing geologic maps, of which there are many in this area. The result of this feasibility study and geotechnical evaluation was that Route A was the recommended route, and that's the green route you see indicated by the yellow arrow up to the tennis courts and then down to Highway 74 as the most feasible, the least expensive, and probably the safest route. The cost estimate in that is about $4 to $8 million. And I know that that's a concern for everybody of what's it going to cost and what's it going to cost me. We're not prepared to give you a cost estimate at this time. But we will be able to do that after design is finished. Now, the basic parameters here is we have an elevation drop from the tennis courts down to 74 of about 470 feet. To get the grades that we need, we have a linear feet of about 5,900 feet. And the reason for these switchbacks and curves are to give us the length in order to keep the grades on acceptable level. The road section shown down here is 2 9-foot traveled ways, so two lanes, and 2 3-foot shoulders, so 24 feet wide completely. The surface that we've decided upon is a natural surface road. And the reason for that is initial cost, certainly, but also continuing maintenance. It's easier to maintain a dirt road with the quality of soil that we have here than if we put recycled asphalt or an asphalt road, which would be susceptible to freeze-thaw. There are natural roads all over Jefferson County, some of which are very heavily traveled. This one will not be. This road will be gated at both ends and will be used only in the event of an emergency and periodic training for emergencies. And we'll probably get a question about this darker blue route up here. This is an extension that goes from the green route up to Montaigne. We did a plan and profile for that, a cut and fill estimate, a cost estimate, and did a geotechnical evaluation of it. That route is not recommended for several reasons. One, it adds an additional 88 feet of elevation. It has about a little over 1,100 feet of length. And where it can come out is within about 100 feet of the entrance to Bitterroot, which is not a, to have two drives that close is not a desirable situation, confuses drivers, and also is a problem for security of the road. Since this road is going to be gated, the plan is for the fire department to have gates at this end and then down at the Highway 74 end. This end, you can't see my pointer, can you? This end is the tennis court end and Highway 74. And so they and the Jeffco sheriff will control that. So there'll be no vehicular traffic on this except in the time of training or in the event of an emergency. I think that's all on this. We'll answer any questions that you have on that when we get to the Q&A. The current project status is the Genesee Foundation has funded $67,000 and contracted with Baseline for preliminary design. And we're looking at a mid-February completion of that preliminary design and a submittal for land disturbance permits and stormwater permits from Jeffco and a drive permit for CDOT. In addition, we have contracted a small contract with Zach Dirt. Zach Dirt is the contractor that's currently working on reservoir number one. And they have an intimate knowledge, having been working for the last year or so on reservoir number one, of the conditions out there, which are pretty interesting geologic conditions. They will provide design assist to the designer and especially construction cost estimates. We'd like to make sure that we've got as solid a cost estimate as we can before we go for a bond election or a Tabor election and a bond issue. Baseline has completed the boundary and topographic survey. They have engaged a geotech for a more thorough geotechnical investigation. Genesee Water and Sanitation District has been very cooperative, has been contributing utilities data existing on their property, and we go across a corner of their property as we proceed down downhill down to 74. And they are also making adjustments to the Reservoir Number 1 project, especially moving fences out of the way of where our road's going to go. The current emphasis for us working with Baseline is we're exploring methods of increasing safety. This is a road, and I think you can forecast from having seen videos of wildfires, especially the Marshall wildfire, that people using this will probably be somewhat panicked, in a hurry to get out. There may be decreased visibility from smoke, or it may be at night. And so we're looking for ways to basically keep folks on the road. We're designing it for resilience because in addition to the initial construction, you have to maintain this. And so we're using a 500-year storm stormwater standard, which is pretty high, except that storms are getting more severe, not less. Kentucky experienced a 1,000-year storm this year. So we're trying to make this road as resilient as possible, as stout as possible to minimize future maintenance. We're very close, and there's no way to avoid it. We're very close, especially to the Daisy Lane residential properties. To the extent possible, we're going to try to minimize the aesthetic impact on these surrounding properties. Now, truth in advertising, in order to make the road survivable, there will have to be mitigation outside of the road as you're seeing other places in Genesee Foundation. And in the Genesee Fire Protection District. So there are going to be some trees going to cut, but we're going to try to do our best to make this aesthetically acceptable to the surrounding community. And we've got to meet the permitting requirements of Jeffco and CDOT. CDOT, we don't expect a lot of difficulty with. Jeffco is sort of notoriously difficult to get permits from. And so we're going to try to work very closely with them to see if we can fast track our permits. We're looking at final design in spring of 2024. It's probably the end of May. and a firm cost estimate to prepare for a November 2024 mill levy election. And that would provide the construction funding, probably through tax-exempt bonds. And if that passes in November, then we'll be looking at construction in the spring of 2025. So, and we'll answer any questions at the Q&A period after. Now, Chief Puffett will pick up from here.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate that. And good evening, everybody. So as we have heard, we've heard the history, we have reviewed where we stand today, and where I come in is where we are going moving forward. So again, just to recap from my perspective, from the fire district's perspective and the board of directors, the purpose of this is to protect the community and to avoid entrapment, is to get folks out. This is an operational tool. It's a life safety tool. It would be a valuable asset for us and from fire district standpoint, but also from the community standpoint. So it's a very important consideration for the community as we move forward. So as Will just provided an overview, we're going to identify the technical solution. We are going to assess and evaluate the financial implications of the fire district taking on this challenge. And then, of course, we are going to lay out a community education initiative, which I'll talk a little bit more about here in a moment, so we can have a collaborative discussion, a collaborative process, so we can decide as a community whether this is a asset that we want to invest in. And then that's the end state, right? That's November, the fire district coming up with a solution with our partners. It's identifying the financial solutions, and then it's putting it to you, the community, to choose. Is this important? We all have our own risk tolerance for ourselves, for our family, for our community. At the end of the day, we all need to make our personal decision of whether this is worth it. It's from the fire district's point of view, it's absolutely a critical asset. But really, this is going to come down to each one of you to make that decision in November. And that's the intent. Dory, next slide. So next steps. So as Will said, he went over the engineering and the design. We'll complete the preliminary design and the final design, as he said, near May. In parallel, a very critical component of that is going to be the financial and the legal aspects. So as we move into the first part of the year, we're going to engage bond counsel, and we are going to evaluate the financial implications of this project on the fire district. It is the fire district's number one priority to provide emergency services for the community. And we cannot allow this or anything else to hinder that. So we need to evaluate the financial, the burden on us to make sure that we don't over extend ourselves financially speaking, both in good times and in lean times. So we'll evaluate that with bond counsel's assistance. And then the board of directors will take that information and they'll make the final decision whether financially we want to move forward with this project or not. Again, that will be a spring of next year decision. As I said, in parallel, we'll also work with legal counsel to prepare for a Tabor election. It requires a fair bit of legal work and preparation, which we've done in the past. And we have an excellent relationship with our attorney's office, and we'll build those solutions so we can get to the point where we can draft and submit a ballot question if we do decide to move forward at that point. The ballot question would go to the county in August, and then it would go to the voters in November. With that in mind, what we'll be doing starting in January, I'll be drafting a letter to the community that will outline, again, what the overall intent of the project is, the timeline associated with that, and expectations as it relates to community updates, community meetings, and I'll make sure to have a schedule of those dates on that letter so that way the community as a whole can plan on attending, hopefully, and learning. And then again, come November, we'll make a decision as a community whether we want to move forward. So this has been a project that's been going on for a very long time. I joined this district in 2010 and had been a hot topic for a very long time before that. So to be at this point is a it's success in of itself. And I'm really appreciative of all the help and assistance to drive it to this point. The folks at the Genesee Foundation have been great. I thank Rick and Will and Diane, and it's been a great partnership throughout this entire process. So as we move forward, I'm looking forward to continuing that collaborative partnership, and really wanted to commit to everybody here on this call tonight that this is going to be a transparent and open process, so that way everybody knows what's going on, and they have an avenue to ask questions if they have any. So with that, I think, Dory, I think we're ready to open up for questions and answers.
All right. Let's see. There's nothing in the chat box yet. As soon as something comes through, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing.
So if anybody has any questions, please feel this, to voice them here, to put them in the chat box. But if you also have questions that come up later, or you'd prefer to have a different dialogue, you can email the fire district at info@geneseefire.org. We'll put that email address in the chat as well, and then we'll address those. And if there's a trend with those, we'll add those to our FAQs as well to make sure that everybody sees those questions, has an opportunity to learn from one another.
All right, so we could have our first question. It is, why not survey residents about the tax increase before spending more money? And that comes from Tommy Barnett.
So survey residents about the tax increase. So as a part of the evaluation as we move forward, number one, we need to know what the road's going to cost, both from a capital standpoint, but also a long-term maintenance standpoint. We'll get those answers in the spring. And then we'll be putting together a tool to enable us to say, what is this going to cost from a tax standpoint, to see whether to see what that direct impact will be for you and your families. So at that point, we're going to have that tool available, and you'll be able to see what that impact is. If a survey is something that the community wants, that's not a difficult lift, and certainly something we can consider, not off the table.
Next question. Is there any opportunity for any cost sharing from state or local government?
We looked at that, and I'll continue to evaluate that. We've met with county, we've met with state, both state senators, county commissioners. It's been a challenge. Everybody's very supportive of the idea. It's difficult to get people to buy in. That with that being said, we'll continue to pursue those avenues all the way to the very end for sure.
All right, Will, I think this one's for you. This question is, what is the black checked line on the map?
Do you want to pull that map up, Dory?
Yeah, I gotta share my screen again. One second. Okay, here it is.
It's the original.
Okay. It'll be easier to talk from if we have the map up, but I think I see what the question is. So you're talking about a black dashed line?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That is that initial, very initial feasibility analysis that was done, and that was the route that was looked at then. There are a number of problems with that route, but one primary one is it goes across the embankment of the Reservoir Number 2 dam, which was not acceptable. Shouldn't have been acceptable to anybody, but it really wasn't acceptable to Genesee Water and Sanitation District. There's a number of other problems with that, and you can see how close it comes to the Bitterroot properties. But the one that we've picked now, I think, is far superior to that one, and because that one is just plain not feasible. I hope that answers your question. But yeah, that black line is from that very early feasibility study.
I'm going to stop sharing so you can see the chat.
What else? Okay.
With the second route, what is estimated evacuation time and probability that we could still be caught without any exit? With this second route, what is estimated evacuation time and probability that we could still be caught without any exit?
Yeah, I'd be happy to field that one, Dory. Thank you. So this road is going to do a couple things for us. One, it's going to improve our evacuation times. And two, it's going to address the situation if we have a blocked road to the north of avoiding, ideally avoiding entrapment. So there are scenarios where the road will not be accessible to residents and it'll be a shelter in place situation. This road provides a secondary egress to avoid that situation. To answer your question specifically in terms of time, I don't have an answer for you right now. The good news is we have invested in our partner with a company out of California called Ladris. It's L-A-D-R-I-S. They are a very progressive, forward-thinking company that developed an AI-based evacuation tool that allows us to do real-time modeling. It'll do a couple of things for us. One, it'll answer your question specifically. And then two, it allows us to real-time play a number of different scenarios. We can look at if Genesee Trail Road is blocked, if Genesee Ridge is blocked, if they're both blocked, if we add the road to the south, visibility is such where we're down to 5 miles per hour, what does that do? Or 10 miles per hour. We can look at all these different scenarios real time and answer that. I have the same question that you do, and we'll work through that. And as a part of the community outreach and education initiative for next year, we're going to be able to display that. And as you have those questions, I'm going to put that tool up and then we're going to look at those results together as a community and be able to answer those very directly. But again, at the end of the day, evacuation time is a big deal. But as importantly is the entrapment component. And then I'll just add as a side note, this tool will enable us to work in parallel to harden our roads and our current egress to the north. And so we can take a look at where those current bottlenecks are and where people are going to be slowed down even to a stop. For example, Ridge and Vista is going to be a bottleneck, I'm sure. And so if we have a known bottleneck, we'll be able to take a look at roadway survivability, which is data we already have. And where the roadway survivability is low and we have a bottleneck, that's going to enable us to prioritize those areas in terms of mitigation and improve roadway survivability. So we are not just looking at this road as a single solution. This is going to be a multi-task, multi-parallel initiative to improve the community safety and means of getting out and surviving a wildfire or other disaster.
All right. Our next question is, what is the environmental impact on the wildlife, migration routes, and forest destruction?
Yeah, essentially none. During construction, we'll probably disturb wildlife a little bit, but other than that, it's no more disturbance than the roads in Genesee now. Probably less because it won't be traveled. We have no threatened and endangered species, no cultural resources that we've identified. So it's basically just going through a corner of Genesee Water Sanitation District land and then down through the open space. So I would say no impact whatsoever.
Okay, next question. Are you going to contact the residents who will be impacted to review the planned route?
Yes. We will have when we get to the preliminary design, which would be mid-February, I would think it would be a great idea to get at least ambassadors from Daisy Lane and Bitterroot, perhaps the whole community if they want to review those. So no, we don't have a problem with that.
Okay. The next question, will you make sure to keep Chimney Creek in the loop through our HOA board or real manage our community management company? The community calendar for Genesee doesn't seem accessible to non-foundation people. I want to start the answer to this question. I have reached out to every HOA board at least 2 weeks prior to these meetings, and I'm sure that we'll be posting this information on the Genesee Fire Rescue website. And then Genesee Foundation, I don't know if somebody from there would like to also jump on that. Okay. Let's see. Next question. The GWSD access has several 175 degree turns. The emergency egress assumption was that the exit speed of 20 miles per hour was required in order to meet the 4-hour egress. The new map does not seem to connect to Bitterroot. How will the 20 mile per hour egress speed be met? And this is from Dave Pizzuti.
Sure. So what you're talking about, I think, is the sharp turn into Genesee Waters property. The route actually goes through that Genesee Water and Sanitation Drive. During design, we're going to look at the improving that intersection. And I see some actually pretty easy ways to do that. That is a sharp curve on a blind curve. And so we're going to look at improving that by widening that, moving it to the north toward Montaigne, and probably knocking down the nose of that ridge that makes that such a blind curve. The 20 mile per hour, not sure I follow that exactly. The speed's going to be controlled by the conditions that are there. And so the road will handle 20 miles an hour under ideal conditions, under limited visibility, smoke, night. I'm sure that it will be less than that. But it's not a criteria that we meet 4 hours going out of that. I think this software that Chief Puffett just mentioned will give us a better model of that. So we'll be able to model, but you know, it depends on the situation. Are the routes to 70 open? If they are, then you know, who's going to be exiting out of this road? Probably folks of Stonecrop, Daisy, Pine Drop, Bitterroot. So a subset of the operation. If those roads are closed, then that's going to be the only way out. And without this road, there's no way out. And without this road, there is no way in for supporting fire departments like, you know, Indian Hills or Evergreen or the fire departments that could come in. So without the road, there's no throughput in or out. So hopefully that answers your question.
All right. Our next question is, might the proposal to move pickleball to Solitude present some complications?
I think that's beyond the scope of our design. I'll let the Genesee Foundation Pickleball Committee handle that one. I don't see it as being anything at all. If pickleball's going on in the middle of an emergency, I think the emergency will take priority.
Right. As an emergency only evacuation route, why not make it egress only?
Yeah, I'd be happy to jump in on that one. So this road is going to be designed as a tool. Primarily, it's going to be used as egress, but depending on the situation, if I have my druthers and I'm calling for an evacuation, I'm going to push people to the north. And the reason for that is because I wanted people to follow their day-to-day commuting route out of the community, a known route, a comfortable route, one they're familiar with. We're only going to use this route if we need to, again, as a tool. What this, again, software that we're going to be evaluating will enable us to do is to evaluate contraflow. Contraflow is the use of both lanes in one direction as well. And that's something that I have interest in pursuing. So to give you a specific example, if we have fire moving from the west to the east, and maybe come from the southwest, I'm going to push people to the north and the normal commuting route up to I-70, and they're going to follow that familiar path. But what we're going to do is open up both lanes on Genesee Ridge and Genesee Trail, and that's going to improve our evacuation time considerably. Then I'll take emergency resources, I'll bring them in from the south, and that way we're not doing bumper or nose-to-nose traffic under dire situations. And then we can deal with a fire as well as we can get people out of harm's way. So that's just one example. But again, this is a tool that we're going to use based on the conditions that we are met with.
Great. I do not have a question in the chat box at this time.
Okay. Does anybody else have any more questions before we close the meeting out?
Thank you, everybody.
60. Okay. Well, then I'll just say at the very end, thank you so much, everybody, for attending. This is such a strategic and important project to the entire fire protection district. The fire district is happy to take the lead as we move forward. But again, we'll continue to partner with all of our community members. And this is something that it's a critical asset. And I really value your time tonight. And I really look forward to continue to communicate with you and to hear from you. Again, if you have questions in the meantime, please use the info@geneseefire.org. We'll address those. And then you can expect from the fire district come the first part of the year, again, that communication. So you can see exactly what to expect and when to expect it so you can plan accordingly. But I appreciate everybody's time tonight very much. Diane, do you have anything you'd like to finish on?
No, I think you've said it well, Jason, and thank you everybody for attending.
Thank you all for your work.
All right, thank you. And this will be posted in the fire district in the next few days.